Chapter 4. The Famine of the Yoa Era. Later, there was a famine that lasted 2 years and brought immeasurable misery. I think it was during the Yoa Era, 1181 to 1182, so long ago I've forgotten. In spring and summer, the sun was fierce. In autumn and winter, typhoons and floods. Terrible calamities followed, one after another, until all the grain crops failed. People plowed in spring and planted in summer, all to no avail. The merriment that comes with an autumn harvest was lost. Stocking up for winter became impossible. Throughout the provinces, people left their farms and homes. Some took to the hills. Various prayers were chanted, many rituals performed, all to no avail. The capital has always relied on the hinterland, so when supplies stopped flowing in, all dignity was lost. Having given up hope, people were resigned to offloading all their possessions. I saw not a single exception. In the little trade that remained, grain had become more valuable than gold. Beggars lined the streets. The sounds of their suffering filled my ears. The year ended in this pathetic way. Everyone hoped the new year would bring renewal, but things only got worse when plague struck. As time passed and everyone died of starvation, we began feeling like fish trapped in a shrinking pool. Donning hats and gaiters, finely dressed ladies and gentlemen went from house to house, begging frantically. Right before my eyes, I saw stricken people suddenly collapse. Starved bodies lay strewn about the streets, slumped and rigid against the walls of houses. Because they weren't removed, a dreadful stench arose. To look upon those rotting corpses was more than one could bear. The river's edge was choked with bodies, not room enough for horses or carts to pass. With laborers and woodsmen exhausted, even firewood disappeared. Without another possession in the world, some people tore down their houses and took the timber to market. But alas, I heard that the value wasn't enough to live on for even a day. I was baffled to see firewood with crimson paint flecked with silver and gold. Asking around, I found that people were breaking into old temples and stealing the Buddhas. They had removed hall fittings and broken them into bits. I regret being born in such a sinful time, witnessing so many dreadful things. So much heartbreak. Among loving couples, the one who loved the deepest was always the first to die. They sacrificed themselves, men and women alike, giving what meager food they had to their loved one. In families, of course, parents always went first. I saw babies at the breast, unaware that their mothers had perished. The monk Ryugyo, who was imperial treasurer and abbot of the sub-temple of Jisōin at Ninnaji, felt great pity for the countless dying. When he noticed a dying person, he would trace the holy mark upon their forehead, binding them to salvation. During the 4th and 5th months, he counted 40,000 dead throughout the capital. From Ichijo in the north to Kujo in the south, from Kyōgoku in the east to Suzaku in the west. That total does not include those who perished before or since. And then there were the countless who died along the riverbed and in the suburbs of Shirakawa and the capital's west. There were even more along the 7 roads leading to the provinces. I heard there was a similar famine in the Chōshō era, 1132 to 1135, during the reign of Emperor Sutoku. But I know nothing of that age. All I know is that the more recent famine was the worst I've ever seen before or since.